Up, word of mouth Wednesday. We're here for another Wednesday. This is June the 30th, 2010. Shout out to Victor Baines Marshall, host of the Middle Passage, and we've got a word of mouth Wednesday for you tonight. Word up, what a weekend it was. Wild protests, riots, arrests, and more. The heat was on during a 4-hour. I was stuck in a kettling experience down at Queen and Spadina, cooking in the kettle in the cold rain. So on our G20 recap special, we'll be asking, is this Toronto? As civil liberties groups, political parties, unions, and members of the general public are calling for inquiries and investigations into the handling of the G20 summit security and the estimated 900 people who were arrested, many without any charges. Will activism in Toronto marches on? And tonight we've got audio interviews from the 3 days of protesting, plus we'll open the phone lines and hear what you, the CKLN community, thinks about the G20. But first up, you know, we're going to be hearing some interview accounts and more. So stay tuned here on a recap of the G20 meetings here on CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto. Word of Mouth Wednesday. My name's Daniel Libby, and stay tuned for more. Word up, word of mouth, word. Let's just go to a quick clip here of one of the people that was in town for the G20 meeting, and that was Charlie Veach of the Love Police. And then we'll be right back here on the G20 special. Word up, Toronto.
Ladies and gentlemen, Toronto is in police state lockdown. You are free to do as you are told. You are free to have your bag searched arbitrarily. You are free to hand in your identification. Please look up to your nearest CCTV camera so your face may be reported. You're all guilty until proven innocent. Anyone disobeying or not showing their ID quickly enough will be detained by the police for a total of 20 hours, much like I was on Thursday. I was taken to the Toronto film studios. They kept handcuffs on me for 5 hours behind my back. They had 4 detectives to interview me every 2 hours, calling me a violent anarchist, which is quite ironic because my group from England is called the Love Police, and we are here to raise love and lower fear.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. So that was just a quick clip there of Charlie Veach, who was in town from, and he's from overseas, from the UK, and he is an activist online as the Love Police. You can check out their stuff on YouTube. He was in town, and just in that quick clip there, he talked about himself being arrested last Thursday for not showing his ID in front of Union Station. And then I think even recently, the latest breaking news was that he was arrested yesterday while trying to fly out of Toronto. And this time, the charge, I think, was something to do with impersonating a police officer. You know, and his group is called the Love Police. So we're looking to get an update. We're hopefully going to get some updates on that situation for you here tonight, and then a whole lot more. Plus, I got a lot of audio here from the weekend because I got to interview a bunch of people down at the rallies. We also have this interview with Jesse Rosenfeld, who is a journalist who was arrested, and he tells quite a shocking story of how that all happened on a Rabel podcast by Megan Perry that we might get to as well. But we are having some computer issues, so I think what I'll do first off is just open up the phone lines just in case anybody has anything to say right off the bat at CKLN. 416-595-1655 is the phone number you can call in to CKLN 88.1 FM, 416-595-1655, if you have any words on the G20. Because it was, you know, there's things happening all last week, and there's more, more things coming out each day as to what really took place during this whole summit. The event that I touched on in the intro, the one that I was involved with, was quite an experience. And I even got to call in on Word of Mouth Monday. Robin Nieto came in this Monday, and I called in and talked about it there. Because, you know, it was like 4 hours in the rain, almost 4 hours, from 6 something till almost 10 p.m. We were surrounded. And that's why I posted a clip on YouTube. It's already got a few thousand views, called G20 Toronto, There Is No Exit. And because there wasn't any exit, and there wasn't any announcement either that they were going to surround us, and that anybody that was being surrounded was going to be detained or arrested or processed. I think that was one of the words that was going around the crowd, because nobody really knew what was going on. And there was no announcements. Now, when I got home, I found out that this was, a media spectacle, quite a media spectacle, because it was live on TV. They were showing it as almost like a serious, tense standoff situation is almost being portrayed as. But, well, in person, it was something quite different. Now, I think we got our phone ringing here, so I'm going to try to pick this one up. Hold on here. Hello, CKLN Radio. You're on the air.
Hi there. How you doing? This is Derek. I am
Derek.
Part of TorontoFoodSeekers.com.
Yeah. Thanks for calling
in. I was part of the activism this weekend, and I'm definitely aware everybody's waking up. We see the real corruption that has gone on, the trampling of civil liberties and rights of all Torontonians. We have to understand that our city was hijacked this weekend. Let's just say it straight up. Mm-hmm. They came into our city. They closed it down. They brought in their police force, their stormtroopers. We just got robbed of $1.3 billion. Mm-hmm. That's the essence of what happened. Our civil rights were trampled on. People, innocent protesters, were fired at. They were kidnapped into vans. Just go to YouTube and find this information out for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much going on right now that we have to stand up. So it was just omitted in the Toronto Sun today that this Black Bloc, also known as Agent Provocateurs, were actually let to be free into the city of Toronto. They were tracked and traced months before they came into the city. And when they started causing and insinuating this violence on our streets and setting police cars on fire, nobody condones that. Nobody's for that, right? Nobody likes violence. We're all peaceful people. Mm-hmm. But when we see this happening and we see a given order to the police not to apprehend these people, they were told to stand down because, you know, it creates justification for the amount of money that was spent. So when the mainstream media plugs it in to the TV and the general public watch, they say, wow, see, look how violent the protests are. And that's a justification for how much money they spent. But no, plain and simple, we got robbed. This is taxpayers' money. This isn't paid for by these globalist leaders.
Right. Well, these are serious accusations because, but I know that there, you know, there is some credibility to it because I was there and I've even got some footage clips up on YouTube of the police across the street in vans while there's vandalism going on the other side of the street. And then after the these black clad people disappear, then the riot cops get out and, you know, surround the journalists and everybody else that are standing around. Yeah, exactly. So that's why this is it's an extreme situation. But are you getting this kind of info from credible sources that the police were told to stand down? How have you heard this?
This is in the Toronto Sun. I recommend everybody who's listening to this radio show to read the Toronto Sun in today's paper, and it's on page. Let me see here.
In the Toronto Sun,
It's the Toronto Sun today on page 6. So people, we call them whistleblowers in the community. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they go public to news sources because, you know what, a lot of these reporters were arrested and held without mm-hmm. any kind of any rights. You know, they were totally infringed upon. People were just peacefully protesting. They were there capturing this on video, and they were being arrested as well. You know, we have activists and we have people that are standing up for freedoms and liberties and gay rights and all types of movements all around the world, and where they all came to Toronto. So I was actually held for about 20 minutes, and they asked me for my ID and they threatened me with arrest. And this has happened thousands of times over the weekend, and there's so many different stories out there. And I would suggest everybody just go to YouTube and type in G20 Toronto. Mm-hmm. and see all the different stories, because what they did was they omitted that there was no 5-meter fence law. So basically, it came out in the Globe and Mail. Okay, we have a mainstream news article, and the mainstream article was they admitted that they lied to the public. So police admit deliberately misleading public on expanded security fence law. This was the headline in the Globe and Mail.
Wow. Wow.
So they're lying to the public, okay? Mm-hmm. And they're also protecting this black bloc, okay? So they were told to stand down. They were given orders. Mm-hmm. So I am not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not just making stuff up. Mm-hmm. I'm actually covering the real news, which the mainstream media will not. So people in the media, do your job. Show the real violence against the peaceful protesters. Stand up for the rights of citizens in Canada. This is nonsense. So I wish everybody would actually be enraged and actually speak up about things when things are going like this. It's unbelievable.
For sure. And that's one way to get people to really notice it is to see the actual visual evidence with audio, you know, what actually happened. That's why YouTube is an interesting place to check. And I know you've been posting some clips on there as well. On your account, The Secret Store. And then one of your clips is quite shocking, and the title was something like "Screaming Woman Assaulted." What was that situation?
Well, we don't know what happened to the woman before. We don't know what occurred, but we do know while she was being held, she wasn't treated with respect. Let's just say that, okay? This woman was screaming at the top of her lungs, saying, "Get off of me!" And she was put in a sexual depicted position. Mm-hmm. Okay, I am disgusted about this. Mm-hmm. So let's look at the real news that you won't see on mainstream media, okay? I suggest everybody type into YouTube, The Secret Store. This is my channel. I am an activist, and I'm fighting for the rights of everybody, okay? I'm fighting for everybody that's been put down and put under arrest, and I got confessionals there. I went to Christie Pitts, and I got people that were imprisoned in this Guantanamo Bay prison state, okay, at the film studios in Toronto. Mm-hmm. They were being interrogated. They were being demeaned, okay? They were being threatened with rape, okay? Let's tell the truth. Let's actually look at the news story from the Toronto 24 News yesterday. Mm-hmm. They came out public and said that people were threatened with rape in this jail cell. So these are the tactics, you know? People have to be held accountable for this. We have to demand an inquiry where the money went. Okay, $1.3 billion. Who got the money? Mm-hmm. Let's ask the real questions. Why were the police given the orders to stand down when all this violence was occurring in our city? But meanwhile, on the mainstream media, that's all they covered was the violence and the police cruisers set on fire. Oh, of course, that's the justification for the amount of money spent. No, we want to know the facts.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I would suggest everybody go to YouTube, do your research, be independent media consultants, okay? Go on there and be journalists for yourself. You want freedom, you got to actually search for it. So I would suggest people go onto YouTube and type in The Secret Store. That's my personal channel. And if I can wake up a few people and learn to think for yourself, right? I might not know everything. I might not know what's going on, but there is a lot of facts out there. So let's pay attention to that, right?
For real, for real. And you know, I was in this controversial tactic that the police were using, and I've since come to learn that it's there, that they call it kettling. I thought, you know, to me it was, they were like moving the herd. You know, this was a strange situation at Queen and Spadina on Sunday night, because they kept us there for almost 4 hours with no announcements, no explanation. But what was the situation you mentioned that you had at 20 minutes, where they were holding you guys? Was that a similar thing where were you surrounded, or?
I wouldn't say we were surrounded and herded in, but I saw that footage on, City Pulse, I believe it was 24. Mm-hmm. They had women and children in the rain. Okay, mm-hmm. This was at 10:30 at night. This was the following day after all these violent black bloc were able to be set free, mm-hmm. and after the police were given orders to stand down and let them do this. Okay, so the next day, the general public, we have to pay for mm-hmm. the police mistake. That's the truth.
That's what it's.
So now we got
right.
Innocent people being, you know, herded into masses. Mm-hmm. They would actually just open up the barricade with the police and start dragging people out. Mm-hmm. This is how violent these police officers were. So when I was interrogated and held for 20 minutes, they said, if you don't show ID, you're going to be arrested. And I resisted initially, and I didn't know the law at the time. I didn't know that there was a 5-meter law, mm-hmm. I mean, or fence law, but it came out that they lied about that. So I wish I would have got arrested and I would have went to civil court. I would have sued them. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to file complaints. Everybody needs to stand up. This is not the time to be sleeping. This is time to wake up, people, because you know what? We're living in a democracy, but they're telling us, you know what? It's a police state.
For real, yeah. And it's that's why it's good to talk with you, Derek, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Daniel.
All right, peace. Word, and that was Derek there from the Secret Store, youtube.com/thesecretstore. You can find out some of his clips that he's put up from firsthand evidence of what actually happened and accounts of, you know, witness accounts from people that have seen this stuff happening. So this is why we need to open up the phone lines, and I think we got another caller here. Hold on one second here. Hello, this is CKLN 88.1 FM. You're on the air.
Hi, yeah, this is Dan Keller. I'm with the Alternative Media Center.
Oh, hi, Dan.
Thought I'd chime in with some of what your last caller was saying.
Right. What are you thinking?
Hoping to shed some more light on the situation.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, I mean, I was on the ground all week, also posting a lot of video up on the Toronto Media Co-op webpage, the Alternative Media Co-op webpage. And just one of the things that I think is missing in the analysis here is that the Black Bloc tactic, the cops were told to stand down. It was for their safety. The Black Bloc, watching those videos, it's clear that they outmaneuvered the police, and were able to, get around any of the barricades. And at one point, the police just for their own safety, when people actually stand up to the police, stand up, fight back, they're not gonna bring out the guns on protesters, no matter what their tactic is. The police were outmaneuvered and they were running scared. You see in some of the video, they cleared the streets.
Right.
They cleared the streets of themselves because they were afraid. And I mean, the only violence, breaking windows is a violent act, and setting fires, it's intimidation. But really focusing on the police violence of that day is what we really need to be doing here.
Right. So because this is the extreme part of after this Black Bloc went through the city trashing things, then it seemed like a large portion of the riot cops were surrounded the Queen's Park area. At least that's what I know for sure because I was there. And at this point, there was also a big pile in the middle of Queen's Park full of the black garments. So I figured that a lot of the people that had been dressed in black had a chance to change. And then it seemed like as they were closing down Queen's Park that there was arrests taking place. But, you know, since the people that they were arresting weren't wearing black, it's hard to know if they were arresting the right people. I mean, with all these arrests that have happened, do you believe that a lot of people that didn't do anything have been arrested, or?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I spent 20 hours in the jail cell.
You were there too. Okay.
Yeah, without charge. I mean, they dropped, they let me go without any charge. I was in there with people that were there for 30 hours without a phone call.
Wow.
And without charge. There's a couple of people that weren't even in the system. They were just arrested, thrown in a couple cars, and if it wasn't for everybody in the jail cells demanding that these people get dealt with, they'd probably still be sitting there right now because they were totally lost in the system. It was a complete gong show in there.
Wow. So what was it like? What's your experience in there?
Oh, okay. My experience in there, I had about 500 milliliters of water given to me over the over the 20 hours plus detention I was in. They were feeding me. The food that they were feeding was, hamburger buns with cheese and margarine. They weren't giving any other options. The videos, they allowed people to do a tour. They allowed the media to do a tour yesterday, and they were just lying straight up to the media. Jesse Freestin was really challenging them on what they were saying that there was fruit available, that there was all types of different sandwiches, that water was available. Those are all lies. I didn't eat while I was in there as I'm celiac, so I couldn't eat any of the mm-hmm. of the wheat
right.
Of the bread, and they weren't giving me anything else. 500 milliliters of water, no access to a lawyer, no access to a phone call for the entire time I was in there. And one of the really encouraging things is the solidarity that was shown inside the jail cell.
Mm-hmm.
The entire block that I was sitting in, together, everyone pretty much destroyed the jail cells. The actual jail, the cell I was in, they had to move our entire group because we just destroyed it.
Whoa. But so what was this like? Were you guys open? Did you guys open the cell? Like, or you guys were breaking free?
We kicked the gates. Kicked everything. People were just going. People were going crazy. A lot of people were, never been in anything quite like this before.
Mm-hmm.
In Canada, this has really never happened before—a mass arrest like this. And people that were, they started off saying, well, let's just talk to the cops, and they're reasonable people. They'll help. After 10 hours, 16 hours of being lied to about not getting water, about not getting food, these people were in the cells raging, yelling at the cops, just screaming. They were. One of the quotes that one of my cellmates was saying is like, you treat people like animals, they're going to start acting like it.
Hmm.
And that's exactly what it was. They were treating us like you would, like if you hated a dog, that's how you would treat it. Not give it water, not give it food, keep it in a cage. Not give it any bedding. They were treating us like they would, like an abused dog.
Well, yeah, like I can only imagine partially, just because I was in this 4-hour experience where we were sort of herded around. Like that sort of felt to me like, like they're herding us like sheep almost into this intersection, completely surrounded by riot cops. But I luckily was not processed, one of the first people processed, so I wasn't, they didn't detain me, but. From the extreme conditions you're talking about, like in this film studio, and I know people are calling it Trontanamo Bay and stuff. Would you describe what you were in, like a cell, or was it like a cage? Or
it was a cage. It was four sides. It was like 4-centimeter wire fencing, and it was all four sides. On the sides that would connect the cells together, there was just sheet metal in between. To separate us out, so you couldn't see the people in the other cell.
Well,
and it was it was absolutely a cage. It wasn't it wasn't a jail cell. I'm an activist. I've been thrown in jail before for a peaceful protest.
Mm-hmm.
This time it was we were thrown into cages and treated as if we were treated as if they hated us. The guards were very patronizing as well. One of the guys in my cell he was going hyper with diabetes,
mm-hmm.
and it took him 4 hours to get an insulin shot, for him to be taken to the hospital to get insulin. They took him at first to the on-site doctor, the doctors that were collaborating with this, and that doctor wanted to give him the wrong type of insulin and the wrong dose of the insulin. And when he refused, the doctor was saying, "Well, you're just acting. You're just playing it up." Meanwhile, he's in a lot of pain because he's going hyper with diabetes.
Whoa! And was there people that you thought that looked like they were injured, like from getting there, like from their arrest?
Absolutely. There was one man that was brought in from Allen Gardens, had broken ribs. They really didn't do anything for him.
Oh.
Well, another one of my cellmates was sexually assaulted by one of the guards, and threatened. I mean, Amy Goodman spoke about this, mm-hmm. about male officers sexually assaulting her. Well, they did it to male inmates as well.
Oh.
you know, they cornered him and just said, oh, so you've been raped as a child, eh? Well, you're going to get it again tonight.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, it's absolutely sick. And, I mean, you know, we can't make, we're not making this stuff up. It was what was sick was, you know, the head of the police saying, you know, these people are making up these stories. And the mainstream media not reporting on Amy Goodman's assault until more stories came out about it, as if they didn't believe her. And for Blair to come out and say, like, you know, only female cops were searching female prisoners, or female abductees, that's total garbage. There were male cops that were searching these female arrestees, and even the female cops that were searching them, I heard a lot of stories from close allies that they were very, like, I don't know how to say this nicely on radio, but you know, they were assaulted by,
right,
during searches,
right,
and it's all in intimidation, trying to get people to make sure they're not back out on the streets showing dissent to the G20 economic policies.
Well. With all these stories getting out, like, that's why I'm glad that you're doing the work that you're doing with the Alternative Media Co-op and you know, all this. I'm glad you called in today to get some of the word out on this. And I hope a lot of these stories can get out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the class action lawsuit that's going to be coming is going to be huge.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. And thanks a lot, Dan, for calling in.
Yeah. Well, thanks for putting me on there.
All right. Peace.
Bye.
Word. And that was Dan just called in there, Dan Keller from the Alternative Media, like the Alternative Media Center. There was an Alternative Media Center set up by one of the groups that helped set it up was the Toronto Media Co-op, who helped out with getting the web space. And I've posted some clips on there, but then there's a whole lot of content on there in terms of written work and pictures and audio and other videos that other people have put up. And you know, you can check it out at 2010.mediacoop.ca, just without the www. If you just go to like http://2010.mediacoop.ca, you can find some stuff. Or if you just Google search Toronto Media Co-op in your Google search engine, you can find some alternative info on G20. Resistance, G20 activism, and G20 reports that aren't being covered everywhere, you know. And you can even find the clip on there, I think, of Amy Miller's testimonial after, where she was interviewed after being released from this Guantanamo Studios type setup they had on Eastern Avenue. Anyways, we've got these phone lines open for people to call in, and but I think this will be a good time to just take a quick music break, and then we'll come back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Let me just play one here by Artist 95.6, Word Up, G20 Toronto, The Chaos Continues, New World Order Emerges, Toronto, Wake Up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. 7:30 p.m.
Stuck like talking while you run, but you ain't running nada. Boss man sleeping bed at night while you out running product. I deal with CEOs while you in kitchen cutting products. But it don't matter, cause in the end you both gon' burn the lava. Talking how you run, but you ain't running nada. Boss man sleeping bad at night while you out running product. A deal with CEOs while you in kitchen cutting products. But it don't matter, cause in the end you both throw in lava. Come on, make you the brownest blood spitting and graph up walls. Welcome to Toronto, it isn't Brooklyn or the Bronx. The pen is mightier than the sword and I'm content to talk. But if it's a revolution that you want, then I gladly pick up rocks. I will put on a uniform and straight up bomb first. The bearer of bad news, the driver of your hearse. Tracks full of red rum, yes, murder in the first. Fill up hospital beds with third degree burns. Listen to what I remember, yo, why do you think I wear a mask?
It's 95.6, dum-dum, do the math. I'm ready for waterboarding, send me across the border. Duct tape my mouth shut so I don't talk about the order. Order, order, order in the courts. Military tribunals under Barack Obama's torch. Military dictatorships in full force. Airstrikes killing civilian casualties with no remorse. Thug life talking how you run, but you ain't running nada. Boss man sleeping bed at night while you out running product. I deal with CEOs while you ain't kicking cutting products. But it don't matter cause in the end you both gon' burn the lava. Thug life talking how you run, but you ain't running nada. Boss man sleeping bed at night while you out running product. I deal with CEOs while you ain't kicking cutting products. But it don't matter.
95.6, dropping some music tracks there, but we got some situations here with the computer, so I'm sorry if that cut out on that MP3 there. But now we're back on the air live, and I'll keep talking here until we get another caller here at 416-595-1655 on our G20 wrap up special. Because of so much that's happened this weekend, and so much has been focused on the vandalism that occurred on Saturday. You know, it is interesting to take a look at what actually happened in the G20 summit itself. What was going on behind the fence that they were trying to keep us away from? Well, it had something to do with the deficits. And we've got another caller, though. So, hello, CKLN 88.1 FM. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Hey.
Good.
Yeah, do you have any comments?
Yes. I just want to say that on the weekend, I was downtown visiting my mother at Toronto General Hospital, and that's right in the corner of university and college.
Right.
And I got to say, you know, everything that's being said on this radio station is the truth. And if you listen to the other media, the other radio stations, the other TV stations, the mass media that's controlled by New World Order type of ownership, and reporting the story they want to get out, thank God for your station, because the people that were down there, they weren't these crazy, you know, criminal element, radicals, you know, bent on, you know, destroying everything. These are people like you and me, just regular people that, you know, don't like the way the world is being centralized, where banking is being centralized, governments are being centralized, and where police can step on somebody's neck and boot and break up freedom. This is a terrible, terrible thing that happened on a weekend. Mm-hmm. And at least we have the opportunity to say what really happened through your radio station. Because I called through a radio station on your dial at 640, and they wouldn't put the calls through because there are too many negative things against the police. Oh. So they were screening. They wanted to have own version they wanted to put out, but they didn't want the truth that was coming from people calling in. They wanted their own slant on things.
Well, what was it? What did you see when you went down? Well, you were in the downtown core on the weekend. What did you see?
Yeah, right after they had the big thing, it was around 5 o'clock on Saturday.
Right.
And I came out. The hospital was actually on lockdown. I drove down from Milton to visit my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about a 65-kilometer drive, and the place is complete lockdown. So it was a shock to me because I wanted to visit her, obviously. And so I talked my way into the hospital, and they're saying that, you know, there was tear gas and whatnot. And so anyway, I did my visit, and I came back out around 5:30 and just take a look around. And you could smell the sulfur in the air. And I was talking to some people that were there, and they were saying that they just did a peaceful protest at Queen's Park where it was just a sit-down. Nobody was doing anything. It was just, you know, they're occupying Queen's Park in a peaceful manner, sitting down. And then all of a sudden, tear gas comes flying in. People are getting beat over the head with these batons and these shields with no warning, and just getting cracked with no warning, with no provocation for this whatsoever. And you know what? This is Canada. This is not China. This is not Russia. You know, but it doesn't seem to matter anymore because the people that are shot callers are calling the shots for all these countries. And the New World Order, you know, people say there's crazy conspiracy theories out there. You know what? The conspiracy theory is the reality that you see in mass media TV. What we're talking about right now is the truth.
Exactly.
There is a subliminal enterprise going on in the world that's centralizing the financial systems and the governments across the world to our detriment. Our civil liberties are going down the tubes, while, and you saw it on the weekend, how they come and sneak these laws in without any debate at all. This is not democracy. And democracy is a joke. What you think is democracy, what they call democracy, is what they want you to think. There's no democracy. This is ridiculous. Just, you know, I felt bad that I couldn't participate more in this. And these two poor people that were arrested, everybody that was arrested, everybody that participated in these acts of civil disobedience and protest, in my world, every single person should get a medal because they had the courage of their convictions to put their physical body in harm's way. And God bless them for that, because the sheep that don't see what's going on, these people are fighting for their civil liberties.
For real, yeah, and thanks a lot for calling in.
Word, buddy. Keep it up, man.
All right, word. Thanks a lot, man. Peace. And yeah, and if anybody else out there has some words on the G20, you can give us a call, 595-1655, 416-595-1655. What did you see? What do you think about what happened? And maybe even if you didn't make it down, how do you believe that the media portrayed it? Because as that last caller was getting at, this thing seemed to me, this is part of my analysis, was that this was like a mass media spectacle, Hollywood type of event. We got another caller here though. CKLN 88.1 FM. You're on the air.
Hey there, how's it going? It's Rob here from Kensington Market.
Oh, hey Rob.
I have to say, I was actually gone for more than 2 weeks and happened to come back on Friday night about 1 in the morning. Had to sneak back into my home city where I belong. And I think that says a lot, you know, like we came in, we were doing a festival in rural Canada and we had our bus. It was basically impounded with all of our stuff on it. We had to sneak back into our city on multiple carloads, and we had nothing to do with what was going on here. You know what I mean? Like, absolutely nothing. We've been gone for 2 weeks. And so I get home to find this police state. I wanted to go visit my mother, who's actually an elderly old lady, you know, who has a heart problem, lives in basically the worst neighborhood in the whole fucking city, right at Dundas and Sherbourne, pardon my French. But I could not go see my mother because of a police force which would have looked at me on site and arrested me without question. Like, it was absolutely ridiculous to say that I live in a first world country where I'm separated from my family based on how I look, based on the assumption that because, like, I have long hair and because that I have been in the woods for 2 fucking weeks, that, like, I have something to do with some kind of anarchist and people vandalizing, which in itself is a crime. I'm totally against that, but our Constitution is the highest law of the land. We are living in a country where we watch the highest law get suspended in front of our eyes, like taken away with very little apprehension. You know, there were people which were like standing right up there saying, "Oh, great! If these people are going to be quiet, then I'll give away my constitutional rights on a platter." Like, really, it makes you question. It's like what are we living in right here?
Exactly.
This reminds me of like Nazi Germany or something. You know, it is very scary world we're living in.
Oh yeah,
and it was. I would very much, you know, like to see, you know, the people who are responsible for this. You know, like who, like the Toronto police. I very much would like to blame for this, but I can honestly say that the police I saw involved with this were not Toronto police.
Yeah, they had all different kinds.
Some were OPP or other.
Exactly.
Which were brought into this country and, brought into our city to basically pulverize us from, you know, rural Canada, from places which do not like our city. Like, and you know what? They were given free round to just go and pulverize the citizens of this city. And, you know, I've had, you know, friends of mine who are women who are violated, you know, over a dozen friends which had their rights taken away from them. My rights were taken away. I could not see my mother, who is an elderly lady. Like, this is you know, a police state. Wow. This is martial law that we saw instituted. Mm-hmm. And you know what?
Exactly.
As a society, you know, we need to band together, and we can't let this kind of thing happen again. Like, the people who are doing this, we need to keep fighting. Like, the protests which happen need to keep on happening until these people need to testify under oath, that, I very much doubt that Chief Blair would ever stand under oath and say that he told those people at Queen and Spadina to leave when everyone, hundreds of people would testify and say he blocked them in and kidnapped them for hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is reality. And
I was there, exactly.
That's pretty much all I have to say.
And could I just ask you one question, though? Because I got the perspective of what it was like here in the downtown core. But I was wondering about what it was like for you when you said you drove in from outside the city. Did you see anything on the highways? Like, were they blocking off highways or things like this?
Well, we got a phone call from friends of ours, like, because we had things we were doing. You know, we were doing a festival, Ohm Festival, out in... it was around Southwestern, or I guess around Collingwood we drove in from. So
right.
we came along Highway 10, sort of to, like, I guess the western part of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And we were told, like literally we had to stop and regroup and figure out how we were going to do this because, you know, we found out that our main bus, we figured we might get into some trouble, you know, because we had, you know, a bus full of sound equipment and, you know, a bunch of things. And plus, you know, just the look of us, we were just the exact type of people they were looking for, you know. So we separated into different carloads, like probably about maybe 20 or 30 of us. So there's at least like 5 carloads of people, maybe 6, and literally just split up. And, you know, we had equipment which we had to take to, you know, there's no way, like, our big vehicles. We had Q vans, which we knew weren't getting into the city after we found out our bus was impounded. And so, and you know what, we're probably never driving this bus again. They've hit us with so much, you know, stuff that they could with, you know, driving this bus, that it'll never be on the road again, which is another issue in itself. But, you know, that's not the big issue here. The big issue is, you know, this is my home, and I had to, like, you know, strategically sneak back into my city. It's something you'd expect to see, and maybe, like, you know, like Russia, you know, exactly what people have been saying, but this is not Canada. This is not the country I was born in. You know, things are happening now where I think people really need to wake up and realize that, you know, things, you know, if our Constitution could be suspended at, like, no notice at all, like, really, it was taken away from us. You know, with no notice to us, that, you know, you could just be arrested on the street for walking down the street, which many people were. And, you know, and luckily there were people that were with me from other cities which said that they've, you know, these people are going to bring the word to say what was happening here, because, you know, I'd like to say that, you know, something would happen about this, but... You know, we live in a country right now. The reason they had this here was because we're almost disposable when it comes to, you know, especially for voting. You know, we're a liberal, you know, traditional voting city. And you know what? They didn't lose any votes from that.
Right.
But I'm really hoping that other people saw what was happening and saw this is, you know, what Harper majority looks like, you know, in your own city if he ever gets there.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, and thanks a lot for calling in and giving us that story. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Peace. And that was some words there on this whole situation here on the G20 weekend. We're on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're talking here from CKLN 88.1 FM, broadcasting in Toronto on the campus of Ryerson University. And actually, the Blues Dr. Julie Hill just got in to the studio, but then I also noticed that another CKLN programmer, Paul Corby's also here, and he's brought in a piece of paper. Actually, Paul, do you want to talk about what this announcement is?
Well, things are going on the streets right now, and somebody just passed me this at Dundas and Yonge.
Nice.
It says, tomorrow, Canada Day, at 5:30 at Queen's Park, out in the front, I suppose, there will be a public meeting looking into the conditions for detainees at 629 Eastern Avenue, which were illegal, immoral, and dangerous. If you're passing by Yonge and Dundas, you could probably pick one of these up. It runs to 3 pages, and I'm an old guy. My dad fought a war against these kinds of jerks, and it seems like they're running the place now.
Yeah, that's a scary. So the headline there is 5:30 tomorrow?
5:30 tomorrow at Queen's Park.
All right, 5:30 tomorrow, Queen's Park. Another action, another event about this, related to this G20 and these mass arrests that happened. Thanks, Paul, for bringing us that news that we're getting just from the streets here at Yonge and Dundas. Yonge and Dundas was only a block away, block or two away, and it was seriously vandalized. A whole stretch of Yonge Street was on Saturday. And then on Sunday, when I got downtown, I actually got to Dundas Square. And I noticed on every corner there was a huge squad of riot cops. There was about 20 on each corner. So definitely on Sunday, Yonge Street was protected with more cops than I'd ever seen. But the Saturday remains questionable. How it all happened? How this group was able to move so quickly around the police? And, you know, more info is coming out that they were, you know, they were asked to stand down for their safety. So what we need to talk about, though, is this the safety and is the conditions of this cell that these 900 people that were detained, arrested, and many of them, maybe even the majority of them, released without even any charges at all at the end of all of it, were kept in this studio, a converted studio, Hollywood North studio, Toronto film studio on Eastern Avenue, converted into a holding cell with cages on the ground. We had some callers who called in who had been in there on the weekend, and we know there's hundreds of more people with stories like that because a lot of people were into this. This is the kind of things that we need to try to understand here because of how extreme this was, you know. And I'd play a few more clips right now if I thought that there was a both sides of the channels are working here on our computer system. Maybe I'll just play a quick one here. This is just a quick one from Sunday. What was going on Sunday?
It's crumbling. People are waking up philosophically, politically, and spiritually to the fact that we've been lied to every single day of our lives. This is a message which includes my message to the police. The people who control you are the same people who control us, and they do not care about us. And when the time is right for them, they will treat you with the same disrespect. They are using you guys.
So that was Charlie Veach there of the Love Police. When I called, I actually just called Dan Dix from Press for Truth right before I got on air, and I asked him if he knew of any updates, and he said he was with Charlie Veach. Hopefully that means that Charlie Veach has gotten out of the situation that he was in. I guess he had just been arrested yesterday while trying to fly back home. Not only was he arrested on Thursday for not showing ID at Union Station, but then yesterday, I guess he's being accused of impersonating a police officer, which is interesting because his activist group, which is like mostly a lot of comedy clips on YouTube, if you check it out, is called the Love Police. If he is a police officer or impersonating one, it'd be hard to believe that somebody walking down the street would believe this kind of guy is a police officer with the things that you can hear him saying on the megaphone. What I should mention here, and just in case you don't know the situation of the Toronto Truth Seekers during this whole G20 fiasco, on Saturday after all this vandalism and things that had happened, and they shut down Queen's Park. And that's where you hear the stories of the people sitting around in a circle that were being trampled on by horses and things. I was on the west side of the park, so they had the park secured in a way that it was hard to see everything that was going on. And it's a huge park too, when you think about it, hundreds of cops surrounding the whole entire park, forcing everyone out. And I always thought that was like the free speech zone. That was what the media had been calling it. I know the police chief has been back on talking about how it's not a free speech zone, that the whole city of Toronto is a free speech zone, that was just supposed to be called the designated protest area, designated protest zone. Well, I knew when they shut that down that things had taken quite a turn at this whole protest. So I called up the Toronto Truth Seekers guys who were further south at this point. I was wondering what was going on. I walked down, I met up with them, and they were just around a lot of other people that were south of Queen at that point, speaking on a megaphone. The Toronto Truth Seekers do have a megaphone, or I should say did have a megaphone, because not only was the megaphone confiscated and the person that was talking on the megaphone arrested at about 10 p.m. Saturday night, not during the afternoon, but much later into the evening. It seemed like a huge crackdown on free speech happened as the megaphone was not allowed on Saturday nights. So the picture that's been now sent out by the fellow that was arrested was a picture. He sent out a picture on the Toronto Truth Seekers list of what the megaphone looks like now, and it's completely smashed. It looks like they stomped on it is actually what it looks like. So that is just one example of how ridiculous this is, especially considering that the situation that I was in Queen's Park when they took all of Queen's Park out, or the other extreme situation I was in Sunday night when they herded 100 or 200 of us into a intersection and held us there. Both of those situations, there was no loudspeaker or megaphone being used by the police. In the Queen's Park one, there was a few guys that would say yell out that you guys have to move. And then they do a thing where they stomp with their and they hit their shield with their baton and they say move repeatedly. But in the situation at Queen's Park or at Queen and Spadina, there's no loudspeaker like the warning like what was heard in Pittsburgh. Now Pittsburgh had the G20 in the fall of 2009, and a lot of the. The YouTube clips, you can hear constantly on repeat the sound of this warning. So that was the kind of messages that were going on in Pittsburgh, that there was a message that if you did not leave, you'd be arrested or other police action could happen. Those kind of messages would have been helpful, I think, at Queen and Spadina, because if people had heard that, especially the people that were just local residents walking by, would have dispersed. And, that's my whole plan of going down to this G20 was that if I started hearing that announcement, that I wasn't going to just stand around, filming the protest, that I would actually complied with that one too, maybe. But it didn't seem like they wanted to use that. And I know there was a huge thing about the sound cannon. That was a controversial weapon that they had. I didn't see any sound cannon in effect, and I haven't heard that they used it. But, if they did spend all this money and bought all these sound cannons, you'd hope that on the sound cannon that there'd be maybe a different setting, maybe a regular setting where they could just make announcements on it. That might have helped. So that's just one communication note there, when they're taking away communications. But hold on here. We got Paul Corby still in the studio here. Hey, Paul.
Hey, the G20, were the burning police cars bait cars? Did you?
Yeah, that's a good question. That is a good question.
Apparently somebody spray painted, "This is bait, a.k.a. a prop," on one of the cars. Question, why were the cars driven into the middle of the crowd and abandoned? Is the lesson we learned at Montebello that police infiltrators are often in there causing as much trouble as they can imagine causing? There are concerns that similar skullduggery may have played a part in Toronto this weekend, where the burning of three police cars quickly became the defining image of Saturday's otherwise peaceful demonstration. Questions are being asked as to why the police chose to drive the vehicles into the middle of a group of protesters and then abandon them, and why there was no attempt to put out the flames until the nation's media had been given time to record the scenes for broadcast around the world.
I agree. It was live on TV. You can watch full clips of the car burning. The one that was at King and Bay, I believe, almost completely, seems like it almost melted. It melted almost to the whole ground, and you can watch the whole thing happen. But surprisingly, I guess there's a lot of people who were waiting to see if there was going to be an explosion. And that never happened. That's another reason why people think that it was a bait car, because maybe it had less gas, a lean in the tank or something that was the reason it didn't really explode. But there was definitely a lot of flames, a lot of black smoke.
The media enjoyed that.
And oh, yeah.
Our Media Heroism Award goes to Francis D'Souza, who said, "Please, can I get out of here? I know you guys." And they said, "Yes, please, get out of here."
Right.
So
right.
Rather than staying there to record what was going on, he went home and had a nice dinner.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, because that's, you know, that that whole situation did seem like definitely it was ripe for the media, because there was no, and surprisingly, the whole vandalism up Yonge Street was also recorded by the media, and you know that's the one where you don't see many police going along, but you see the media following them, you know, and that's what I thought, that you know if the police were ordered by superiors to not interfere with the vandalism, it would, you know, I wonder if they would have been, you know, if they would have been allowed to follow them. One thing that I did, you know, because I had originally been thinking that these guys couldn't move around really quickly with all this riot squad gear. They were just stand there, you know, like stoically blocking off roads. So I'm like, maybe these guys can actually run. But then I've seen videos with charging, so I know that they can run. And then also they've had these squads going around, some of them in vans that look like family vans, but maybe like their windows were reinforced or something, most likely because I saw the black block try to destroy one of them, and they were, you know, they weren't, the windows weren't smashing as easily as some of the other cars that I saw, or the building windows. But then they also even had these bike patrols going along as well, and I've got some footage of them going really quickly too. They would be cops dressed all in black with these black bikes, and they had a red armband. They're riding around in squads, so they did have room to move, and they did have a lot of officers, enough officers to block off streets and stuff too. So,
tactical advantage of bicycles is that they're very quiet.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And we're almost out of time here on the show, but we got one last caller here. I'll try to see what's up here. Hello, CKLN, Word of Mouth Wednesday. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I agree with what was just being said, that they were able to move around really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That's not why they didn't protect stores, which contradicts what was being said earlier, that it was for their own safety.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they wanted to, they could have protected all the stores. There were so many police everywhere. No, they were intent on intimidating and harassing people. And I think they wanted the vandalism that occurred in the stores to happen in that way, could be used to try to justify the $1.3 billion on so-called security. That seems pretty clear to me, and it is pretty clear that the police cars were strategically placed.
Right.
And if they weren't actually burned by police agents, they were at least strategically placed and not protected from other people that might have been trying to burn them.
For real, for real. And yeah, and I'd like to thank you for calling in. I know we're just running out of time, so I'd ask you more, but thanks a lot for calling
okay,
in.
Okay, sure.
All right, peace. And
bye.
And that was our last caller here for the show, Word of Mouth Wednesday. My name's Daniel Libby, and just to wrap up here as we get ready for the Blue Remedy, I just want to thank everyone that was able to make it out peacefully in the G20 protests, everyone that's concerned in Toronto about what's going on. I'd like to thank Paul Corby for coming in today with the news that tomorrow there's going to be an event, 5:30 p.m. at Queen's Park, about these horrendous conditions in the Guantanamo North Hollywood Studios jail cells, or cages, I should say. That's taking place tomorrow, 5:30. And check it. Another place you can check out is 2010.mediacoop.ca for Toronto Media Co-op and independent media reports on the G20. And stay tuned to CKLN, CKLN Word of Mouth Wednesdays on every night, Rude Awakenings in the mornings, and Saturday Morning Live on the weekends. And and some more stuff. You can also search a YouTube channel, user TorontoTruthG20, for independent video footage of police brutality. That's one of the places you can check out. Another place, backofthebook.ca, is another website you can check out for legal situations in the G20. And, you know, there's a lot of groups that are wondering what's really going on. You know, and so the questions will continue. Hopefully we'll have more next week on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. But that's it for us, for me this week. My name's Daniel Libby, and thank you for listening. And stay tuned for the Blues Remedy with the Blues Doctor, Julie Hill. Word of Mouth.